But I want to talk about elimination for just a minute, because elimination is the ability to release, remove, denounce, deny, and let go. Can you live with that? Get it out of your life. Whatever is taking up space that doesn't belong there anymore. And in our 12 powers, we know that there's always a corresponding disciple. Charles Fillmore saw that there was also a location in the body, a color that is represented with each power. But I want to talk about that disciple because his name is Thaddeus, and he represents the expulsion of negative thinking. So I want to take a look at the Bible for just a minute. Don't be scared, all of you. But from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, it says, "When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city.' But he lingered. And so the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him forth and set him outside the city. And when they had brought him forth, they said, 'Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Flee to the hills, lest you be consumed.' But Lot's wife," who knows this story? Oh, I invite you to take the elimination challenge. "Lot's wife, behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." Poor thing. Now see, in the Old Testament, salt is used as a preservative. So in the story of Lot's wife, this is an extreme example of someone who has failed to develop the God-given faculty of elimination and renunciation. Because this woman, Lot's wife, simply could not let go of her old life, even in this pressing emergency of the destruction of these two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so she suffered not only mentally, but physically. She missed her opportunity to start a new life in a new place. And we remember that we see these things in the Bible metaphysically. You're not going to turn into a pillar of salt because you don't take the elimination challenge this month. You're not going to be punished. But once you know something, as we all know, there's no going back to not knowing it any longer. So mentally, what this means is she was trying to hold on to the past with all its negativity, with all its negation, and her entire being was preserved in limitation as a result of it. Now, it's easy to fall into a pattern like this, isn't it? Like Lot's wife, not letting go of something, even though we know it's no longer serving us. But if we're going to develop our spiritual faculties, which is the reason that we continue to look at our 12 powers, we have to include the power of renunciation or elimination. We don't make any room for anything new to come in. It's the ability that enables us to cleanse and purify our entire being. And Charles Fillmore says about the power of renunciation, elimination, "It is just as necessary that one should learn to let go of thoughts, conditions, and substances in consciousness, body, and affairs when they have served their purpose and one no longer needs them, as it is that one should lay hold of new ideas and new substances to meet one's daily requirements. Therefore, it is very necessary that the eliminative faculty be quickened in one, and a right balance between receiving and giving, laying hold and letting go, be established." And he put this in the this ended up in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary when talking about elimination or renunciation. So it's the same thing if you think about a metaphor that's been referred to often is pulling the weeds in the garden. We pull the weeds and it gives the plants room to grow, right? Yes? So we need to remove our weed thoughts from our minds to prepare room for all our budding spiritual assets that await us. So as we enter into the week of Thanksgiving, I'm going to give you another assignment. Since so many of you took up the assignment, I eliminate whatever this microphone cord just did from my life. So I'm going to give you another assignment, should you choose to accept it. And this is going to be the gratitude challenge. You think you're up to the gratitude challenge? I'll ask you again after I explain it. Now, whether you feel content right now that your life is good as it is, or if you wish things were different, you can make the decision to be thankful. We don't always do it, especially with all the stuff buzzing around us all the time. It's easy to forget this simple act of gratitude. Now, if you have a hard time believing that thankfulness can make a huge difference in your life, I'm going to dare you to challenge yourself to a week of cultivating gratefulness. 1 week of cultivating gratefulness. Before you get out of bed in the morning, I want you to thank God. Just be thankful for three things that are in your life. Can you do that? When you get out of bed, or just wake up. Don't even wait till you're out of bed. When you wake up, be thankful, grateful for three things in your life. And as you go through your day, recognize and vocalize gratitude for the traits and the kindnesses of others. Because they're there. They're always there. And at night, here's the big one. At night, offer up a prayer of thanksgiving for three challenges you are experiencing. Now, I know that not all of you may be going through three challenges simultaneously, but I want you to look for it and be grateful for those. Because aren't those usually the places that cause us to grow the most? I think of challenges and my arms start going like this, the butterfly getting out of the cocoon, making its wings strong enough so it can fly, but it has to really work to get out of there. So give it a week. Give the gratitude challenge a week. See how you feel. And if you start to see a difference, give it a month. But start with 2 weeks. We don't want to get overwhelmed. But really, do you think you can give it a week? 1 week of really watering this seed. Pull the weeds and water the seed of the gratitude challenge this week of Thanksgiving. Remember, it only takes 21 days to make a habit or to change a habit. So if you're having a tough time coming up with something, and sometimes we get stuck, here are a few things to prompt you. Think about a memory that always makes you smile. Is anything coming to mind right now? One memory that always brings a smile to your face. Or in the present moment, what's the best thing that's happened to you today? And if nothing good has happened in your day yet, you can give thanks for that as one of your three challenges tonight when you go to bed. Who is the most generous person you know? And what makes them that way? What's your favorite season? And what do you love about it? What is the hardest thing that you have ever learned to do? The hardest thing you've ever learned to do, or your greatest accomplishment? And I love this one. Who is the person you trust the most? And what makes them so trustworthy? We've planted seeds, as we've talked about pulling weeds, and I see them being watered and nourished this week, and especially this morning, by Reverend Paulette Pipe. So I say to you once again, with faith in my present good, my appreciation for life is magnified. And so it is.
So good to be back. You look wonderful. No, you really do. So we're going to move into a time of meditation, but there's just something I want to share with you before we move into our meditation to focus on gratitude and thankfulness. Several months before I moved into seminary here in the States, I was speaking to my father who lived in the Caribbean, and we were talking about this idea of gratitude. And I was explaining to him that my belief is that we don't have to wait until things happen to give thanks. We give thanks in advance. And even when we have challenges, we give thanks for those things too, just as Britt was mentioning earlier. And as the scripture says, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God. Then right before I arrived in seminary, I got a call from the family to say my father had had a massive heart attack. And I kept checking in, and he was doing okay. And then I called my mother one day and was just, again, checking to see how Daddy was doing. And she said, oh, let me turn the radio down because I can't hear you. And the next voice I heard was my dad's. And I was so relieved. They had released him from the hospital early. He was doing that well. And he said, I did what you said. Oh, what did I say? You said to give thanks for everything. So then he proceeded to tell me that on the journey to the hospital, it's a 12-mile journey, but it takes 45 minutes because the roads are so treacherous and windy, and they have deep, steep inclines when you look over the side. And if they had called for an ambulance, by the time the ambulance had arrived at my family's town, my father would have died. So my brother and my mother kind of threw him in the back of the car. Well, not literally, obviously, but threw him in the back of the car and drove him to the hospital, my brother breaking every speed rule and getting there as fast as he could. And my father described how, as they rolled over every stone, as they went around every corner, he could feel the jolt in his chest. And he would say, thank you, Jesus. And all the way there, all the inclines and the steep downclines, he would just say, thank you, Jesus. He was in so much pain, and he just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. And when he got to the hospital and they put him on the gurney, he said, thank you, Jesus. And he told my mother to say goodbye to all the children and gave us messages. He was giving thanks for his life. And I said, okay. That's not quite what I meant. But it was. And I believe that just having that conversation with my father months before and him taking that idea of giving thanks saved his life. And yes, his belief is, thank you, Jesus. Whatever we know and experience God as, we can give thanks even in the midst of challenges. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God. The world looks a bit strange right now. This country looks a little interesting right now. But it doesn't matter what side of the political divide you are on. Give thanks anyway. One of the things we can give thanks for is that we're engaged in a way that we have not been in what's going on in the country. Another thing we can give thanks for is that there is light shining where there was darkness. What was in the darkness is now being revealed. If we have challenges in our life, we can give thanks that we have the inner strength, that we have the fortification of spirit to move through it. And one of the ways that we stay grounded, that we stay connected in conscious awareness with the Spirit of God within us is through mindful practice and meditation. There are so many things that we can give thanks for in the moment, no matter how treacherous, how discontent, how scared we may feel. Give thanks anyway, and if you can't find anything to give thanks for, give thanks that you have the living presence of God moving through you, making a way where there seems to be no way. So let us take this idea into our time of meditation. I invite you to put aside anything that you might be holding in your hands. adjust your position so you're sitting comfortably, so that you're upright, and enable you to take in the whole and entire breath every time you breathe in, every time you breathe out, consciously. We give thanks that God is in this place, that God's presence fills here, that God's presence here is love, God's presence here is peace, God's presence here is joy. We give thanks for the living, loving Spirit of Truth that pours itself in, through, and out of us in expression as much as we allow it. Yes, we give thanks for everything because we look up beyond appearance and we see as God sees, we know as God knows, and we experience it as God experiences. So right now we relax into this moment to move into the secret place of the Most High, where we will remember our true spiritual identity, where we will remember one thing that we can give thanks for even in the midst of a challenge. Every challenge is an opportunity to grow stronger, to know more of the divine, to trust in the divine order process at work. But as we navigate our way on a daily basis, we may forget. Here is our opportunity to remember as we breathe and relax, allowing our toes to uncurl in our shoes and our feet to make contact with the ground. Breathe deeply and relax your ankles, your lower legs, soften your knees, unclench your hips, thighs, and pelvis, which also softens your thighs and legs. Allow yourself to sink more deeply into your seat, without slouching, so that the chest is open and expanded, so you can breathe deeply. And as you relax some more, feel your torso relax, the solar plexus area unclench, every vertebrae in your back unlocks, and your shoulders glide down from around your ears. It feels so good to let go, to experience and trust the divine. And as we trust, we become fearless, faith-filled, and relax even more. And now we feel this relaxation moving down our arms to our elbows, through our lower arms into our hands and out through our fingertips. And it feels so good to let go. Relaxation now moves around your neck. Even though it has to hold the weight of your head, it is still softening and relaxing, sending a signal to your face to let go. Unclench your jaw. Allow your eyes to sink more deeply into their sockets. Unfurl, unfurrow your brow. And the back of the head softens, the crown of the head, the breath. And we breathe our way to stillness, to that secret place of the Most High within, and here in the safety and security of the presence of the divine, we rest and listen with an open, responsive heart. Open and responsive to those attributes, qualities, gifts, even challenges for which we can be grateful, for which we can see beyond appearance to a blessing, or seek the willingness to do so. So breathe deeply, relax and let go as we rest and listen in the stillness of the silence. Allow your next breath to submerge you even more deeply into the stillness. Trust all is well. God's got this. God in you has got this. This too can be transformed and transmuted into its spiritual equivalent of good. So let go. Embrace the divine ideas and opportunities that every challenge holds. As we breathe and rest once more in the stillness of the silence. And now we begin our journey in consciousness back to this time and place, assured grateful, receptive, and responsive. God is not only in this place, filling this place. God is in me. God is in you. God is the divine solution that we seek. God is the overarching wisdom and love that transforms every situation. Love that emanates from the God within our being now flows through us, emanates through every situation, every challenge. And we are lifted up. We are buoyed up to a new and higher level of consciousness. All is well, and in divine order is no platitude. It is the truth that we stand on, that we are fortified by, as we choose to see another way, as we choose to give thanks, as we choose to be grateful for all of it, as an abundance being brought into experience and expression. And so we see with the eyes of spirit, and we experience that healing, transforming, loving power and loving energy that transforms as we choose to trust. And so we breathe, and we are here present again, open, receptive, and responsive on every level. And God is doing its mighty work in, through, and round about us now, uninterrupted, without any complication or delay. And we are grateful as we release this idea, release this word, to be fulfilled and manifest as it has been decreed. For it has been spoken in the name, through the power, and under the authority of the living, healing, transforming presence within each of us that encourages us to never grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And gratitude allows us to keep going in the face of all that we are faced with. So it is, and so we let it be, as we trust, as we let go, as we give thanks. Amen, amen, amen. Namaste.